Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, today I want to talk about trying to understand where we're really at in this COVID economy. And what do we think is going to happen? Where do we think we're going? What should we be doing with our money? And so on and so forth. And I want to then, that's going to be the first half of the show. Second half of the show, I want to talk about a deal I did back when I was so broke I didn't have two dimes to put together. And talk about how a really good real estate deal can turn an average person with very little money into a rich person almost overnight. Rather extreme things to be talking about. And the reason I'm doing that is because I believe that we're not looking at this COVID thing quite correctly. Now, let me go back and take you back to the beginning of this thing. When it first came up in March, I predicted that the COVID was going to wipe out the real estate market. That, you know, people are going to get sick, people are going to lose their jobs, they're closing down the economy, and that there was just no way that real estate owners that were not deeply rooted in cash, who were not good, super good operators who could keep their tenants happy, were going to lose their properties. Then they pulled a move. The government pulled a move to try to save the world. And what they did was they got rid of more, they had a moratorium on mortgage foreclosures. So you couldn't start throwing all these properties onto the market for guys like us to buy at 50 cents on the dollar. And that was kind of a, okay, that would save the day kind of thing. And for most people, that's great. It saved the day. For somebody like me, who is a value investor who looks for opportunities when people are not operating their businesses correctly and the market moves against them, to be able to go in and take advantage of that. We're not taking advantage of those people. We're taking advantage of their poor business practices, right? And but the government saved them, so no big deal. I don't have to get upset about the government saving people's businesses. That's fine with me. And even though I don't get to go buy them 50 cents on the dollar. So then they came along and we thought, well, man, how do these guys stay alive if the tenants can't pay rent? And then they said, you can't evict them. And then we said, well, even if you can't evict them, they still have to pay, or if you won't have any money and you'll go broke. And then what happened was we were surprised to see in the beginning of this stuff in March, and then again in April, the rents came in. Then May and June, the rents came in. And yes, there were a few people that were paying, and you know, there was a lot of workarounds going on where you let them pay in payments and so forth and work with them on it and everything. And it really stifled the economic crunch. Then, of course, you know, Trump started pushing back to reopen everything. And I think it was May or June, whichever it was, that we had that massive employment growth where, the, you know, 11 million jobs were created in 1 month. I think it was May. It might have been June, but it's one of those 2 months. And then all of a sudden, everybody goes, it's over. We're coming back out of this. Now, in the very beginning, people were saying this was going to be a V-shaped recovery. What does that mean? It means it goes down, it bounces, and comes back up again. And it was starting to look like they were right, that this was going to be a giant blip, that we were going to miss it. It just wasn't going to kill us unless you were just one of those few people that happened to be very, very sick and, you know, so on and so forth. So now what's happening is, with this second arising of it, and they always said there was going to be another run of it during the winter, but with this second rising of the COVID virus, now I'm sitting back going, maybe I wasn't so far from wrong here about what was going on. And I bring that into play because you see, if they have to shut everything back down again, then people are not going to be able to hold. And what's even more important, this is the part you should get your arms around, is that the people in the government, Congress, Senate, they don't want to spend any more billions of dollars. Now, the Democrats are willing to spend all the money in the world if you spend it on the stuff they want. The Republicans are willing to spend all the stuff in the world if they spend it on what they want. But both of them despise the fact that the other person is getting what they want. and that we are just spending money we don't have. So what are they doing? They're watering our dollars down. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, is there going to be inflation? And there's no word of inflation. There's no economist out there that has anything to say that all of this debt is going to create inflation. But, you know, there's been no inflation for the last 10 years. There's been none at all. And we've grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. No inflation. So they seem to figure out how to kick inflation's behind. And, of course, right away, they drop the interest rates again. They make it easy to borrow money. There is no way to make money if interest rates are low, because money always seeks the highest rate of return. And if they drop the interest rates on the base investments, then all the upper class investments, money goes out of the base investments, goes into more complicated investments, has more risk in, because it's looking for return. It's a natural thing for money to do. I know I sit here every day, and if you've ever been to our seminars about managing money, you'll understand that there's a thing called the family business, but there's actually another name for it. Curtis comes up with it all the time. It's his thing. But it's your job is to manage your family's money. Its business is its own money. And so you're constantly looking at your portfolio. You're constantly moving your money around to get the best returns. And I move money all the time. You know, you have one bank that lowers its interest rate, pull the money out of that, stick it in another bank, get higher interest rates. You know, you find one little short-term deal, it's a good deal, you get into it, you find one little small, a guy sends me a deal on a real estate deal that I like and goes, wow, this is going to be a good return. And I buy a little piece of that, move a little money out of cash, move a little more money into real estate. And you're constantly tweaking that portfolio. Somebody else sells something or refinances it and sends you back some money. Now you got to figure out what to do with the money. You get a tax return at the end of the year, you got another chunk of money, you got to figure out what are you going to do with that chunk of money. And you're constantly moving that money around trying to maximize the return on investment. So why am I saying this? Because we're doing it. Don't believe everybody else out there isn't doing it also, except just the normal Joe who gets up and goes to work every day, has his money sitting in his 401k and IRA, financial planner has it, and he never thinks about his money. So his money is getting hammered. While we're doing everything we can do to keep our money above water, you know, keep our returns higher. So that's why I'm having this discussion today, because I think you need to look at this world realistically, and I'm seeing really a change in my mind. I don't know if anybody else's mind yet. I'm seeing it on paper. I'm seeing stories written about it, but I don't feel the gut behind it yet that needs to be there. I think you have the Trump people that believe that it's just going to come out. I mean, some people, if you look at Donald Trump and you follow the way he acts, he is getting and becoming more and more and more unhinged and believing his own lies. Now, he's been able to tell lies and get away with it forever. And don't get me wrong. I voted for Trump. Quite honestly, right now, I'm going like, gosh, that's a really poor representation of a president in so many ways. He just looks and acts like an idiot. Now, I'm not telling you to not vote for him. I might vote for him again. I don't like Biden any better, right? So, and I don't like who Biden brings with him, really, to tell you the truth. So remember, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. You have to realize that. I'm a conservative, financial conservative, and I am a social liberal. So I fall everywhere. Wherever the rock drops me, that's where I end up. I roll a little ways, and then I'm there. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. I'm going to talk to you about where I think this economy's going. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Now here. here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free. From the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. And I want to pick back up where I was talking about. Where is this country right now? Where is our thought as far as investments? Where should they be? What are we looking at? And so on and so forth. And I'm bringing back the point I brought up in the first segment, which is basically that in the beginning, I thought this thing was going to be a big problem. It was going to wipe a bunch of people out. And we're going to be able to buy a bunch of real estate, you know, cheap. And now I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these reports and so forth. And so I'm taking a second look because I thought, you know, right after that, they saved the world with all this money given out to all these people for free. Super high unemployment, $600 above the normal amount, $1,200, just one check to every person out there. And then they moratorium on evictions, moratorium on foreclosures and so forth. I thought they had figured out how to save this thing. They did, too. They figured it was a blip. The Trump presidency believed, his administration believed this thing was going to come and go right away, and all they had to do was get us over the bump. And now what's happening is they're finding out the bump wasn't a bump anymore. It's going back to what we thought in the beginning, which was a trough, for whatever reason. So let's take a look first at the COVID, then we'll talk about the business. What do we really know about the COVID virus? I would suggest to you that you're being lied to by both the Democrats and the Republicans. And one side is lying up, one side is lying down. The Democrats obviously want the severity to be way worse than what it is, and they're telling you everything in the world. Like I saw today, one of the CNN, they had graphs on there, and they're talking about how now Texas and Florida have the highest rate of infection anywhere in the country, and that means that, you know, because we opened back up our businesses here in Texas or you in Florida or wherever else, that's what happens. So now there's all these problems and it's going to kill hundreds of thousands of extra people. Then it showed another graph, although they didn't want to make this apparent. He said there's the other side of the argument is there's been like 80% of all the people that died from COVID are from New York State and the other 20% for the rest of the country combined. And then you go, but why aren't they making that a big point? Why aren't they saying that the Democrat states, which, you know, really are the ones that got most of the people killed? And then you would go into, well, maybe it's a race thing. This is a racist type of disease. It kills more black and brown people than it does white people. And so then the Democrats are going to get into it's a racist thing that the government's letting this thing go all over the country because they wanted to kill off the black and brown people. So there's that their conspiracy going on. The other side saying it's not even happened. It's almost none of it around. So what are the facts? 147,000 people have died. We're in June, July moving into August. So it's 7 months so far. And we've got 5 months left. And so you just do some interpolation and you see we're going to get to 2 million. And you say, well, what does that matter? And 2 million in a country of 450 million people, 430 million, whatever it is, means that you may never even know somebody who lost somebody. It means that those 200,000 people and their family missed somebody, lost somebody. And the rest of us may never even know somebody. I've got friends that all had COVID. They're all fine. There's COVID all around us. Some of the family members got COVID. So we know one thing, COVID's there. That's not a lie. We also know that not everybody who gets it's dying, right? We have a situation where what we have to decide is, in this economy, is whether it's safe to open the businesses or not, and do you believe that it's going to kill everybody, or do you believe it's just like any other flu, it's going to get to the people that are the sickest and the weakest and get them, and you should protect them, you should isolate them, and so on and so forth. This is the argument. And so the Republicans are trying to say there's no problem at all with COVID, which is not a believable point. It's there. People are dying from it. It's real. But they're also trying to say that, but it's not enough of a point to destroy an entire country over. And that's a relevant point also. So you see, I'm taking neither position because I don't really care which one's right or wrong. You'll vote which one you think is right or wrong come, you know, voting this year. But what I do think is that you should be smart enough to figure out where this all leads to. And this is going to lead to all kinds of more government intervention, all kinds of businesses going out of business. In fact, I saw something where it said, in fact, it's an article here, that there were, I had some really good articles here I was going to share with you guys, but it was about how many businesses actually went out of business. And it was quite amazing, the number of businesses that went out of business. Here it is. Business closures. Popular website Yelp, which is, you know, like a food rating place, published crowd resource reviews on local restaurants, retailers, and entertainment venues, personal and other personal services. Yelp reports that 177,000 U.S. businesses on its site were closed between March and April. As of June, only 37,000 had reopened. In Houston, the pandemic forced a closure of 3,518 businesses, and only 577 of those have reopened. So there you go, guys. It is destroying businesses. Okay, next thing, outlook. The current recession can no longer be seen as a brief shutdown in which the Congress passes enough safety net stimulus packages to bridge the gap. The number of active business owners in the U.S. plummeted by 3.3 million. Or 22% in March and April. Though the nation has recouped some of the jobs lost in March and April, there's still 16 million unemployed people in the U.S. Houston unemployment update. We had an uptick in employment, obviously, when everybody else did when people went back to work. Crude oil is down to $39 a barrel, down from $58 a barrel. Home sales are up this month over last month, which means nothing. What does that all mean? Well, here's the NMHC, National Multifamily Housing Council. Let me check my time here. I got a few minutes left for this. And it says, due to market tightness, sales volumes, and equity refinancing indexes all came in well below the break-even level. In other words, what they do is they go out and they interview people and say, are you going to do this kind of business, yes or no? And 50-50 means the business is just normal. And this time says market tightness, 19%. People think it's okay. 18% believe sales volume is okay. 34% believe that the indexes are boring. But 66% are signaling favoring conditions. Recent spikes in COVID have caused many areas in the U.S. to scale back or completely reverse their attempts to reopen. Amidst the COVID, 71% of respondents reported looser market conditions quarterly compared to prior 3 months. This Federal Reserve has countered this economic malaise with aggressively accommodative monetary policy resulting in historically low interest rates. This, in turn, has created favorable pricing for debt financing, lending more responses than in 44%. To 25% in this round of survey. What are they basically saying? They're saying in this, as I read the whole article, is that they've got a big graph. I should have just gone to the graph. It's a picture with an arrow pointed down. It's going down, right? So what happens is that sometimes these people take a while to go out of business, right? And sometimes they just get tired. Say, I've had enough. I want out. I'm already seeing it in certain businesses, and this is what I wanted to talk about today. I've been looking at all different kinds of businesses for sale. You know, I'm a business person first, real estate person second, and I look at everything. I'm always looking where I can put my money, what I can do, what I can open, what I can grow to make money. And what I'm seeing right now is that businesses are dead. So you start looking at real estate holding businesses. So if retail businesses are going out of business, retail real estate is going to take a hickey. If you look further and you look at office buildings, they're going to take a hickey. There's going to be some level of real estate that's going to hit rock bottom somewhere. Don't know when. Again, that's my personal opinion. That doesn't mean it will actually happen. That's just what I believe. When you look at the economics of the apartments, I thought everything would get destroyed. And yet we have Lifestyles, which are very well-trained investors. I've got out of six deals that I have, I had five of them pay distributions this quarter. Now, the quarter before, we didn't anybody pay because I told everybody, don't pay, keep your money. So what can you say? You think it's all going to heck and then it stays alive. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley on Designing a Lifestyle.
When I was younger, I decided that I was not going to live the life that the average person lived, which was to think I was going to work for the end of my life, save up enough money, and then when I'm old and gray like I am now, try to buy my life back with a pile of money that I had. I said, no, I'm going to design a life and I'm going to live that life. That's it. Period.
Are you ready to design your life? Learn how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing, in this pandemic environment, what should we be thinking and where should we be looking? And I want to take this last segment to kind of sum up. I want you to understand what's happening is that the rents are going down. Actually, rents have gone down for the first time in 10 years, according to this article here. They're down by $2 on a $1,457 average rent in this country. They're down by $2. Multifamily rents have declined by $12. What's this? Since January, U.S. multifamily average rents have declined by $12, not $4. A few months ago, many were hopeful the economic expansion would return by July, but with a rise in cases in many southern states, the economic recovery will likely be pushed out further into the future, hopefully. So are we going to recover? I'm telling you, I don't think so. I think the thing about what the Republicans are not telling you is that I think these football players going back, you know, the baseball players had one team had 18 people get sick in one day. I don't see these football players playing football, sweating all over each other, hitting each other, showering with each other, and not catching COVID. You say, well, they're all going to be, you know, in taking care of themselves in quarantine. They're not going to be quarantined. These are football players. These are athletes. These are males. They have got to get out and get the sustenance of female company, and they're going to do that. And they're going to get it, and it's going to spread, and I think they're going to have to shut these teams down. One team gets it. They don't know it. And I think they're supposed to be testing every guy every day, but if they're not, somebody gets it and he goes in there and anybody else gets it and two, three, four, five guys get it, the team's done. Same thing with basketball. There's only five guys on the floor. One or two good guys get it, your team's done. So the key to win the basketball tournament is just don't get COVID. But how are you going to take, you know, 20 to 30-year-old men in the prime of their life, giant physical athletes, and tell them no sex, no relationships, no going out for cocktails, no dinners, no partying? I don't know. I don't see it happen. I think these sports. So people are hoping the sports are going to bring everybody back and they're going to start being able to have outdoor events. And I don't see the big events happening. I just don't see them being able to do it. I think the Democrats are going to keep this country shut down. And I don't know if that's rightfully so or not. I don't know. But I think they're going to. I'm still being the pessimist. I'm on the pessimistic side still. And I'll tell you, I came in pessimistic. I admitted that I might be wrong. But I'm back to being pessimistic again. And what I'm seeing is the way the market is starting to offer deals. But what I haven't seen yet is apartment complexes and or houses starting to go down in price. Why? Because everything else is going to pot, whatever. It's all falling apart. And as businesses go out of business and there's no place to invest your money because all the businesses are going out of business, look at Boeing, lost $2 billion first quarter. What are you doing if your money's in Boeing right now? You're pulling it out. Where are you putting it? What's the only thing that's real? And that's real estate. And so if I had more real estate now, I would not get rid of it. If I can buy more in good deals, which I am, I'm picking up a deal here, a deal there that are good deals, I'm buying it. And at the same time, I'm staying prepared, thinking, man, this thing may fall apart. So I'm keeping a little cash back to protect my apartments. I'm keeping a little cash back to be ready to buy. But a deal here, a deal there, and so on and so forth, I can pick up. It's a good deal. I'm going to pick it up because the real estate isn't going anywhere. Let me tell you a little story. When I started buying real estate, when I first started, I could buy a single-family house. I bought single-family houses. The first four of them I bought in a row, I paid $24,000 for a home that had been completely renovated. Three-bedroom, one bath, one-car garage. Four of them in a row. Paid $25,000 each, and I bought them out of foreclosure. At the time, the median price for single-family houses was $50,000. And I don't know what the average price was, but the median was $50,000. When I stopped buying, when the median price, when houses were up to $40,000 a piece, I stopped buying single-family houses. I can't pay these high prices, $40,000 a unit. And I went back to apartments, started buying apartments at $10,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a door. Then paid $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 a door. Then I got up to crazy $16,000, $17,000, $18,000, $19,000. And when I got up to $20,000 a door, I go, here I am again. I can't pay $20,000 a door for this. So I sat on my thumbs for a while and did nothing. And then all of a sudden, everything was $30,000 a door. And I go, man, I should sell at $30,000 a door. I bought this stuff at $7,000 or $8,000, $10,000 a door. And so I finally ended up selling at $35 a door. The stuff I sold for $35 a door is now for sale for $50 a door. And houses, at the beginning of 2007 recession, 2008 recession, houses had a median price in Houston, Texas of $152,000. Now they have a median price of $250,000 and an average price of $326,000. Hey, real estate has not gone down in value one bit in the last 20 years. You say, well, it went down in 2007, 2008. It was a blip down. And anybody who was smart bought all of it they could get. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life was a stock market mistake. At that time, when that was going on, I said, the stock market ever hit 6,000, I'm going to buy stocks again. Because I swore I'd never buy them. But it dropped all the way from 10,000. It was like 6,500 or something. I said, if it hit 6,000, I'm in. I'm going to buy. Never got there. Got to like 6,200, 300, then went right back up. You know, trying to catch the bottom of anything doesn't work. You either have to be in on the way down or in on the way up. If you're in on the way down, your dollar cost averaging yourself into a very low cost position, and then you own it at a really great price, and you can manage it at a great price, and you can do well with it. Or you're buying on the way up, and your values are going up, 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 up. You just got to be smart enough to get in before it peaks. And remember, as it peaks, it still has to crest, then peak, and then start backwards. So you've got a long period of time. I talked about real estate forever as being this. It's a train instead of a bullet. A bullet can kill you and you can't get out of the way, but a train can kill you, but you can step off the tracks. Have a good day. Back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.